He was probably crossing his fingers for luck, whistling past the graveyard. Why, who the hell are they? They're a hornet's nest, that's what. And you just poked it with a stick, and now you're going to leave. What was I supposed to do? Let them hit me with sharp tools? That's what we do. We take our punishments, and we keep smiles on our faces and our heads down. We go along to get along. What the hell are you talking about? She paused, shook her head. It's not a big deal. Not really. So we tell ourselves. If you throw a frog in hot water, he'll jump right out again. Put him in cold water and heat it up slowly. He'll let himself get boiled to death without ever noticing. And that's you? Yes, that's us. Give me the details. She paused again. She shook her head again. No, no, no. You won't hear anything bad about the Duncans from me. I want that on the record. I'm a local girl, and I've known them all my life. They're a fine family. There's nothing wrong with them. Nothing at all. The doctor's wife took a long, hard look at the wrecked Subaru, and then she set off, walking home. Reacher offered her a ride in the pickup truck, but she wouldn't hear of it. He watched her walk out of the motel lot until she was swallowed by the dark and lost to sight. Then he turned back to the two guys on the gravel outside his door. No way could he lift an unconscious human weighing 300 pounds. 300 pounds of free weights on a bar? Maybe. But not 300 pounds of inert flesh and blood the size of a refrigerator. He opened the pickup's door and climbed into the cab. It smelled of pine disinfectant and hot oil. He found the gear shift and took off forward on a curve, and then stopped and backed up until the tailgate was in line with where the two guys lay. He got out again and stepped around the hood and looked at the winch that was bolted to the frame at the front. It was electric. It had a motor connected to a drum wrapped with thin steel cable. The cable had a snap hook on the end. There was a release ratchet and a winding button. He hit the ratchet and unwound the cable. 10 feet. 20. 30. He flipped it up over the hood, over the roof of the cab, between two lights on the light bar, over the load bed and down to where the guys were lying behind the truck. He dropped the tailgate flat and bent and fastened the hook to the front of the first guy's belt. He walked back to the front of the truck and found the winding button and pressed. The motor started, and the drum turned, and the slack pulled out of the cable. Then the cable went tight and quivered like a bowstring and burred a groove into the front edge of the hood and pulled a crease into the light bar on the roof. The drum slowed, and then it dug in and kept on turning. The truck squatted low on its springs. Reacher walked back and saw the first guy getting dragged by his belt toward the load bed, scuffling along the ground, waist first, arms and legs trailing. The guy dragged all the way to the edge of the tailgate. Then the cable came up vertically and shrieked against the sheet metal, and the guy's belt stretched oval, and he started up into the air, spinning a little, his back arched, his head and legs and arms hanging down. Reacher waited and timed it, and pulled and pushed and shoved and got him up over the angle and watched as he dragged onward into the load bed. Reacher stepped back to the front and waited a beat and then stopped the winch. He came back and leaned into the load bed and released the hook. And then he did the same things all over again for the second guy. Like a veterinarian called out to a couple of dead heifers. Reacher drove 5 miles south and slowed and stopped just before the shared driveway that ran west toward the three houses huddled together. They had been painted white a generation ago and still managed a gray gleam in the moonlight. They were substantial buildings, arranged along a short arc without much space between them. There was no landscaping, just threadbare gravel and weeds and three parked cars, and then a heavy post and rail fence, and then flat, empty fields running away into the darkness. There was a light behind a ground floor window in the house on the right. No other signs of activity. Reacher pulled 30 feet ahead and then backed up and turned and reversed into the driveway. Gravel crunched and scrabbled under his tires. A noisy approach. He risked 50 yards, which was about halfway. Then he stopped and slid out and unlatched the tailgate. He climbed up into the load bed and grabbed the first guy by the belt and the collar, and heaved and hauled and half-dragged and half-rolled him to the edge, and then put the sole of his boot against the guy's hip and shoved him over. The guy fell 3 feet and thumped down on his side and settled on his back. Return to sender. Reacher went back for the second guy and pushed and pulled and hauled and rolled him out of the truck right on top of his buddy. Then he latched the tailgate again and vaulted over the side to the ground and got behind the wheel and took off, fast. The four Duncans were still around the table in Jasper's kitchen. Not a planned meeting, but they had a permanently long agenda, and they were taking advantage of circumstances. Foremost in their minds was an emerging delay on the Canadian border. Jacob said, "We're getting pressure from our friend to the south." Jonas said, "We can't control what we can't control." "Try telling that to him." "He'll get his shipment."
"When?"
"Whenever."
"He paid up front."
"He always does."
"A lot of money."
"It always is.
But this time he's agitated. He wants action. And here's the thing. It was very strange. He called me, and it was like jumping into the conversation halfway through."
"What?"
"He was frustrated, obviously, but also a little surly, like we weren't taking him seriously. Like he had made prior communications that had gone unheeded. Like we had ignored warnings. I felt like he was on page 3 and I was on page 1.
"He's losing his mind."
"Unless."
"Unless what?"
"Unless one of us took a couple of his calls already."
Jonas Duncan said, "Well, I didn't."
"Me either," Jasper Duncan said. "You sure?"
"Of course.
Because there's really no other explanation here. And remember, this is a guy we can't afford to mess with. This is a deeply unpleasant person."
Jacob's brothers both shrugged. Two men in their 60s, gnarled, battered, built like fireplugs. Jonas said,
"Don't look at me."
"Me either,"
Jasper said again. Only Seth Duncan hadn't spoken.
Not a word.
Jacob's son. His father asked,